like to most sincerely congratulate all of these sisters on their advancement in religious life, especially our sister who is celebrating 25 years anniversary of her religious vows. It's a very special event to have faithfully served our Lord for such a long time. And especially also for those sisters who are going to take their final vows. This is a very important event in your life. I would like to speak briefly of how important is the religious vocation. We know when our Divine Savior walked this earth visibly amongst men nearly 2,000 years ago, he had called his apostles and disciples to follow more closely. And there were also holy women that followed our Lord and the apostles and assisted them. And we know from the words of Christ, when he said, "If thou wilt, go sell all thou hast and come follow me." For the last nearly 2,000 years, men and women have done that, left everything behind to follow Christ. And what did Jesus tell St. Peter when Peter said, "Behold, Lord, we left everything. What are we going to get?" And Jesus said, "Everyone who's left mother, father, sister, brother, and lands for my sake will receive a hundredfold in this life, and in the life to come, eternal life." What a beautiful thing it is to give your life entirely to God. The world doesn't understand this, because the world knows not God, nor the things of God. We know in sacred scripture, St. Paul makes it very clear. The sacrament of matrimony is a very holy state. It's a sacrament between those who are baptized. Nevertheless, and we need good Catholic families. This is the plan of God. But nevertheless, St. Paul says in his epistle to the Corinthians that someone who's married, their heart is divided between loving God and loving their spouse. But for a religious, they can love God undividedly. These are no mere pious prayer. This is a reality that the sisters, they choose Jesus Christ as their divine spouse. And you will find no better spouse than Christ. We know that if we look at any of the constitutions and rule of in any order or congregation, the most important thing, the very first thing, they all say, the goal of the religious, is to become holy, to seek perfection. And what a wonderful thing it is as a religious, you have the entire atmosphere to accomplish that. You live in close proximity to the Blessed Sacrament. You're just a few steps away from visiting Christ on the altar, receiving our Lord frequently, weekly confession. You have your other sisters in Christ helping you along on the way to sanctity. You have a schedule. You have your prayers already assigned to you. You know God's will. Sometimes knowing God's will is not easy if you're out in the world. What does God want me to do? But in a religious life, everything is well regulated to help you to know God's will. And surrounded by all these spiritual helps, and not least among them, especially in our congregation, our devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the singular devotion explained by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, total consecration to Jesus through Mary, we have so many helps to become holy. Many of you here may be visiting. You see the beautiful chapel here. We acquired this chapel in 1977 when we purchased Mount St. Michael's. Originally, Mount St. Michael's was a Jesuit institute. So you notice that we have St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits here, Our Lady under the title of the Queen of the Jesuits. We have the saint here, St. John. We have St. Peter Canisius, the Jesuit saint, St. Michael, St. Teresa. She was the patroness of the Jesuits for the Northwest Province. But what happened? This is a beautiful building, beautiful property. I believe the building was completed in 1917, if I'm not mistaken. And by 1977, the Jesuits really fumbled the ball. I'm not here to pick on the Jesuits, because we know that after the Second Vatican Council, in which the church had been infiltrated, the infiltrators had this specific design to destroy the church, we know that religious orders drastically declined. From rather having hundreds of Jesuits in this building, by 1977, when we were moving in, and they were moving out, I'm going to guess there may have been maybe 20 Jesuits here. And I want to tell you just a little news note. I'm not going to go off into a tangent, okay? The Superior General of the Jesuit Order has publicly stated, Satan does not exist. I'm not sure where he learned his theology, but surely wasn't for nothing Catholic. That's typical of the modernist mentality. What God has revealed, what the Catholic Church has faithfully taught down through the centuries, the modernists just throw it out. Based on what? Absolutely nothing. That's no surprise. I remember reading in the newspaper, this Jesuit college in Omaha, Creighton University, there's a lecture there, and the man said, the devil doesn't exist. What an absolute, positive deceit of Satan. I'm not there. Don't worry about me. I'm not going to lead you to hell. Oh, hell. There's no hell either. What blindness. And that is the reason why we should especially be grateful for our vocations in this day and age. When we see some religious congregations completely dissolve, they're not there anymore. They're gone. It's very important for us never to lose that primary purpose as a religious, to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, to put God first in our sanctification. Become holy. And it's by our life of holiness that our works will be blessed by God. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds a city, they watch. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord keeps the city, they watch in vain. Jesus tells us, I am the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. I cannot stress enough the importance of being totally focused on holiness, union with God through His grace, and motivating your life by the love of God. We have over here, to your right, my left, the statue of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. In the book she's holding, it has her motto, I can do all things. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. That little Italian nun was a dynamo for God. She went to Pope Leo XIII. She wanted to be a missionary. He said, go to America. She founded hospitals, orphanages, New York, Denver, Seattle, Chicago, South America. She was unstoppable because she was holy. And she was totally inflamed with the love of God. And that leads me to my second point. When you love God, you love what's dearest to God. And what is more dear to God than souls? Christ, our Lord, came down from heaven, became man. The eternal Word, the second person of the Trinity, came down from heaven, the Son of God, became man. Why? For us men and for our salvation. He suffered a most cruel and painful death on the cross. Why? For our redemption. He founded a church, and he promised that he would be with that church all days, even to the end of the world, and the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. And our Lord, he instituted sacraments to sanctify us, to help us. He instituted the Holy Eucharist, which is both a sacrament and a sacrifice, to help us to become holy. And of all the work that a person can be called here on earth to do, and there are many great works, you could be a doctor, a nurse, you can be an engineer, you can be a plumber, a carpenter, I'm not sure if I should say lawyer. You'd be a lawyer, okay? There's some good lawyers out there, don't get me wrong. I have to look real hard, but they're out there. But of all the work that we can do, there's nothing greater than being God's instruments to save souls. And you know, when it comes to saving souls, the number one thing is God's grace. I mean, we can explain the faith, we can have the greatest arguments, we can outline all the proof, but if God's grace is not there, they're not going to see it. And that's where we think of Our Lady of Fatima. She said to the children of Fatima and to us, to pray and sacrifice. Prayer and sacrifice for the conversion of sinners. Yes, we need to work in the vineyard of the Lord, trying to save souls actively. But let us never forget, it's not going to be me or you or any of us. It's God's grace. We're just simply instruments. And what a wonderful thing it is to be entrusted with the care of souls. And what, when we love God, we should be on fire. We should be on fire to bring all men to Christ and to his true church. There's no doubt in my mind we live in the days of the apostasy. The devil has used his best and most cleverest of machinations to try to destroy the church. And we see the devastation, loss of priests, loss of sisters. And I know those of you who have been around have heard me before, but some of you may have not. In 1965, in the United States, there was 113,000 teachers, sisters teaching sisters. 113,000. After Vatican II, and besides all the changes of the Mass and the liturgy and the sacraments, and the changes in the faith with false ecumenism and worshiping with other religions, they also tampered with the priesthood, they also tampered with the religious life. 30 years later, 1995, from 113,000 teaching sisters, there were less than 13,000 left. Over 100,000 sisters gone from the religious life. What a blow that was to Catholic schools throughout the United States. But not just the Catholic school system, hospitals, orphanages, geriatric centers for elderly. Satan, he's done one heck of a job. But let us never forget that when it comes to our vocation, we seek first God. God must be first. We give God the very best. It's a beautiful thing to see such young women give their life to God. And I tell you, you can have no regrets. If you faithfully live your vocation and truly put your whole heart, mind, and soul to it, when you get to be an old fogey, and I won't define who an old fogey is, because somebody out there is going to say, I resent that, Bishop. But you're going to look back on your life and say, you know, I really fulfilled my life. I couldn't have done, you know, I couldn't have done this any differently and been more fulfilled. You're year after year giving your life to God by prayer and sacrifice, and you're working for souls. I know for myself, I would not be a bishop today, nor a priest or religious, if it weren't for Sister Mary Grace, my second grade teacher. When the changes were happening, she remained faithful in wearing her religious habit. She taught us the old faith, the way it used to be taught, that true Catholic faith handed down by popes and councils for nearly 2,000 years. And most importantly, she taught us how to pray, and she certainly put the fear of God in us. Never forget Sister Mary Grace talking about hell. I went home and something was scared out of me. And I don't have to tell you what it was. And when I went home that night, when I prayed my prayers, I said, "Dear God, I do not want to go to hell." Thank you, Sister Mary Grace, and God rest her soul. That influence she had stayed with me for a long time. I'm very grateful for my Catholic parents. My sixth grade teacher, Sister Mary Juliana, she was one tough sister. Could she punch? Punched better than any of the kids in my class. How do I know? Well, we won't go there, okay? I'm just glad she didn't take up professional boxing. You know, but she was one heck of a puncher. But was she dedicated to God? Yes. After my ordination, I was visiting my relatives in Chicago. Went to see her grave and said a prayer for her. An amazing thing, how many years she taught. It was incredible how many students we had at that time. And she had everybody in line. Can I guess how old she was? I don't know, she was really old. She had been a sister for probably over 55 years. And a teacher at that. She knew all the tricks in the book. There wasn't anything we could get by with. She knew everything and then some. And she was always on top of the situation. But my point is that what a wonderful thing it is to work, be an instrument of God in saving souls. And in planting in children's hearts and souls love for God and love for the faith. It'll stay with them the rest of their life. And you know, I would be remiss if I didn't end this sermon about talking about today's feast, our Mother of Perpetual Help. In the back of the church, as you're leaving the church, to the right, is the image of our Mother of Perpetual Help. A very beautiful image of our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, holding the Christ child. Very significant. On either side of Jesus and Mary, St. Michael and St. Gabriel. St. Gabriel is holding the cross and the nails. St. Michael is holding the sponge and the vinegar and gall by which our Lord was insulted in his thirst. And our Lord, he's in our Blessed Mother's arms and his sandal is falling off. Our Lady's eyes are large, and Jesus is holding his mother's hand, her thumb, with both hands. The painter of that image had many points to convey, many truths to convey. The eyes of Our Lady are large because she's always attentive to our needs. Christ was true God and true man, one person, but having two natures, the divine nature and human nature. And he's holding his mother's hand with both hands, showing total trust and confidence. His sandal is falling off because he sees the instruments of torture. Our Lord, as we just said before, was our Savior to suffer and die for us. And he could foresee that painful suffering and death that he was going to endure. And he goes to his mother with total trust and confidence. When we think of our Blessed Mother, our spiritual mother, let us never forget when she stood at the foot of the cross, as we read in the Gospel, she saw very intimately the intense sufferings of her son. Nailed to the cross, crowned with thorns, body totally scourged, she could hear the insults of his enemies mocking him, taunting him, come down from the cross. And she, the valiant woman, stood at the foot of the cross. As Jesus was the new Adam, to reverse what our first parent, Adam, had done with original sin, our Lord was redeeming us. But just as Adam had a cooperator in the fall, and that was Eve, so Mary, the Mother of God, cooperated with Christ in our redemption by standing at the foot of the cross and suffering a martyrdom in her heart. Our Blessed Mother knows how truly precious our souls in the sight of God. That's why when Our Lady appears, especially at Fatima, what was her emphasis? She was there because she was lamenting. So many souls go to hell. So many souls go to hell. Her son's precious blood that was shed on the cross will be shed in vain for them. They'll be lost forever. And that's the reason why, in a very important aspect of our apostolate, the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen, we have devotion to Our Lady of Fatima and her message, and spreading that message. And I'd like to say something very briefly about this month of the Sacred Heart. When our Lord had died on the cross, contrary to the custom of the Romans to break the legs of those crucified, our Lord's side was pierced, and out from his heart flowed the last bit of his precious blood. Our Lord wanted to prove his love for us. He wanted to leave no drop of blood left to show that indeed he loved us. And so as our sisters advance toward the religious life, make their steps and final vows and celebrate their Jubilee anniversary, just remember the love that Christ has for each and every one of you. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, after the gift of the true faith, it's a singular sign God loves you when he calls you to his service. My dear sisters in Christ, let us be grateful for our vocation. And let us show that gratitude by loving God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. And let us really, truly live our vocation. Become holy. Become holy. And as Jesus says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And if you do that, then you will bear great fruit in all the work that you do for souls. Whether you work with souls directly or indirectly, your life of oblation, working for Jesus through Mary, will be a great success. And on this occasion of these steps, we'd like to remind all the religious how important it is every day, thank God for your vocation and remind yourself, why have I come here? What am I doing here? I came here to serve God and serve Him alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.